the Tom Likas Show.
I'm not Barack Obama.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. The Tom Likas Show, brought to you in part by the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. This holiday season, think Mangrates. Click on the Mangrate banner at blowmeuptom.com. Get their holiday special. And the griller in your life will be grilling like a pro. Guarantee. It's Mangrates. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Don't touch that dial. There's no dial. Don't touch that mouse. Don't touch that tablet. Don't touch that iPhone. Don't touch it, because this is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And if you're listening live on Tuesday, just after 6 p.m. on the West Coast, just after 9 p.m. on the East Coast, here we are with our friend, RP1, divorce attorney Adam Sachs, joins us once again with free legal advice for those of you who are doing it wrong and you want to do it right. A lot of people doing it wrong, aren't there, Adam?
Quite a few, Tom, I'm afraid.
We meet them all.
I'm hearing from them every day with great regrets. So I think Likas 201 is a real enhancement. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think we really need to do that, because we still have guys. Like, we had two on Likas 201 today who are getting married, and they wanted me to, like, put the rubber stamp on them.
Well, they can't help themselves, Tom. I can't figure it out.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Put it this way. Let's get away from the romantic aspects of this. Because I have my opinion about this. I'm not an attorney. I'm a layman about the law and about what's good or bad for people in terms of, like, what can happen and what can go wrong. Let's get the answer from you. Now, I'm trying to figure out what it is, besides being loved and other intangibles that people describe. Is there a benefit to a man, at the end of the day, to get married?
I remember listening to you on the radio years ago. And you said this statement flatly. You said, you know, there's no benefit for a man. And I remember really contemplating that and saying, oh, my God, you know, because I think I was always of the opinion there are few benefits, in fairness, you know, and I want it to be balanced and so forth. But I think that over time, I certainly have come to really agree with you. And what's amazing is that even what people have as expectations, and particularly this is probably more historical, where you'd have, you know, this mother to your children, and you'd have this companion, and you'd have the expectation of sex and love and all this, we see that's not even the case anymore. You're coming home to an empty house, right, Tom?
Well, none of that is guaranteed. The thing about it is people get this idea when you sign a contract that there are certain expectations, and what is promised is guaranteed. Wedding vows, I've always said, are the biggest lie in the world.
There's no doubt about it. You talk about, you know, it's funny with wedding vows. You talk about in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. Tom, we see now in the economic crisis the past few years, a guy loses his house, the wife's gone. I've seen the horrible, horrible cases of women getting cancer. Husband serves with divorce papers, and the opposite as well, of course.
Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich served his wife in the hospital bedside. I mean, can you imagine? That was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. She was dying of breast cancer.
You know, I think people confuse the agreement that we sign when we get married with other contractual agreements. If you didn't make a payment on your Hyundai Sonata, believe me, the law would enforce that promise you made. But if
somebody's going to send the repo man.
Yeah, that's right. And Jeff Bridges will be there with a tow truck. But if somebody fails to stay with you in sickness and in health, and of course, like 2/3 of Californians, till death do us part, that vow was a joke, there's no police state, there's no agency that's going to enforce that contract. There just isn't. The best thing you can do is hope to get out with your skin intact.
The thing is also, I think that the expectation is a lot different. And, you know, we talk about modern times or whatever, and it certainly is true that there are women now who are earning a larger salary even than the man they're with and so forth, and they complain about that from their point of view. But we've also seen what you talked about a few times, where you come home and there's no food prepared, and your wife says to you, "Oh, I already ate. I didn't make anything for you. You got two hands. Do it yourself." Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And by the way, in my case, that was a wife who had not worked in 9 years.
Amazing.
That was somebody who enjoyed my lifestyle, lived in my house, enjoyed my big screen TV, watched foreign films, read books, made friends, went out to Starbucks, did what she wanted to do all day long.
Life of leisure.
Went out to the Beverly Center, and then I one time heard the phrase, "What am I, a slave?"
Right. And you're controlling. If you ask where she is or what she's doing,
right,
you're a jerk, right? And what am I, your slave? I've got to cook for you? I've got to clean your clothes? Are you kidding?
Right.
So the expectations.
Nobody has to do that stuff. Just don't get married. And don't take my last name. And don't use my credit card or my ATM. And then you go ahead and do what you want.
There's got to be an instinctive type of thing built into a man on some level when he's dating a woman, that he's looking at criterias, even subconsciously, of whether she's going to be a good wife and mother. And you see that a lot of those skills are devalued now, where a woman has no interest in learning how to cook. Her mother tells her, be a career woman. Don't learn how to be a housewife. That's degrading. For example, taking care of a baby. If you have a baby, you'll get child care. You'll get a nanny to take care of your own child, to breastfeed your child. That's degrading. That's dehumanizing. You don't want to do that. You're an intelligent woman. Why would you stay home with your child?
Of course, they all beg. They all beg you to get married. They all twist your arm, try to get you to sign that contract. They're all filleting you three times a day in an effort to win that contract, just like they try to win government defense contracts and whatever. They do whatever they have to do. But once that contract is signed, baby, once they get you under lock and key, everything changes.
The problem is, and this is something I want to talk about a little bit tonight, is what I would say is basically entitlement. And entitlement, you know, people talk about this now, and it's one thing, you know, when you're unemployed or you're getting benefits from the government because you're having economic problems, whether, you know, hopefully temporary. But there's a thing that happens to people, which is very unfortunate in the welfare state, where over time they start to think of that check that they get or that benefit that they get as something that they're supposed to get that's coming to them. And there's no doubt, I mean, it's plain as day when you talk to particularly American women that they feel entitled. And they're saying, this is coming to me, this belongs to me. I talked to a woman today and she was saying to me how she doesn't want to let the father of her child see the child. And she said, you know, I may have to give up a weekend once a month. And what she's saying is give up a weekend. Like, in other words, that child belongs to her as her property. And letting its father see it once a weekend is something that she has to give up and, like, surrender as though it belongs to her because she's entitled to it. It's disgusting. It's terrible.
Now, I've been recommending, you probably heard me doing this. This is something new that I came up with recently, and I've been talking about it. I have seen many women, 37 years old, haven't met the right guy, a lot of articles about this. So what they do is they go out, they hire a surrogate mother so they can have a kid. Where do they get the sperm from? Well, sometimes they get it from a sperm bank, or sometimes they have some stupid friend who agrees to cooperate or whatever. And then they've got the kid, and they've got all the rights to that kid, and nobody can tell that woman where that kid's going to school, what religion it's going to have, what name it's going to have, things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, rather than being critical of that, I believe that's what men should do. If men want to have children, why should they get married? And why should they give a woman the opportunity to interfere in the relationship between father and child? And so it's my belief that men should, you know, if it's good for women, it's good for men. Why don't men who want to have children simply hire surrogate parents? You know what? Nannies and housekeepers are a lot cheaper than wives, ex-wives, girlfriends, and what have you. And this way, you decide how much time you want to spend with the kid. You decide what the kid's name is. You decide what religion the kid is going to have or not have. You make those decisions. I'm amazed at all these guys. They get married, then they have to fight for whatever little time they can get and whatever permission they get to be with the kid, around the kid, what they get to do with the kid and what have you. You know, the solution to that is don't have kids with a girlfriend or a wife. Have them with a contract signed by one of these people out there who is in that profession. There are law firms that are geared specifically for arranging surrogate parenting. And why can't men do that?
Yeah, there's tons of them on Craigslist, for example. I mean, it's definitely around. You know that when women do it, it's always surprising to me when I meet a woman who's very selfish about her child and won't share it with the man and gives him a hard time. And I say, you know, why didn't you just have this child on your own? It seems like it would have been a better option for you. And you see that that's not what they wanted. They wanted to have that cash flow. They want to have a father to the child so that they can hit him up for support.
Right.
Men, obviously, are a lot different. It's sort of the opposite situation.
Well, don't you wonder why women who say they can't find the right guy, all the good ones are taken.
Of course.
Blah, blah. Well, why don't they hire surrogates?
Well, they wouldn't dream of it.
Why don't they go to a sperm bank?
They wouldn't dream of it,
because
Tom.
They want and they
cash flow, baby.
That's right. They want an annuity. That's what they want. They don't want love. They don't want the kid to have a father. They want money. And let's just call a spade. That's what these women want.
If you look at even the phrase, you know, the place Planned Parenthood, most men, I think, don't plan being parents. I think they're strong-armed into it by the women that they're with, in a rush kind of way, or this little oops accident. And men generally, I'm sorry to tell you, Tom, condoms or whatever, are pretty dumb when it comes to birth control. And most women know, you know, he doesn't even check, he doesn't even ask me. I know, like, when I'm ready, I can just, you know, tell him, ooh, we had an accident, a very happy accident, supposedly. And then the woman's thinking that when the baby comes, he'll be so overjoyed that everything will be okay. And it ends up being a point of great conflict. But I think you are right. There is an older kind of guy, I would think, who's been through some of these things and says, you know, I do want to have a child and certainly could have a surrogate or make some kind of a plan, or even as we've talked about, and it's sort of like a prenuptial or whatever, but I mean, at least you could have some kind of contract. When I talk to most guys, it really seems like the overwhelming number of children, especially nowadays where people don't get married as much or whatever, were not planned, and that guys end up having children very much, as you would say, against their will. They try to rationalize, well, it's okay, I wanted a child eventually anyway, you know, my boy is so beautiful, so they try to, you know, put the shine on it, and it would be a horrible thing to say, you know, I hate my kid because I didn't want him, I didn't plan him. But at the same time, you see how women are very, very much in control of this, and men in the sexual passion throw caution in the wind. And you really basically, like you said, your ejaculation is a billion little checkbooks, little blank checks.
Yeah. And I don't think that guys think that way. By the way, I do believe women think that way. Not all of them. But I do believe there's a lot of women who do think that way. Like, well, if there's an accident, whoops, you know, that's the attitude.
What's really fascinating is when they fill out the forms to get child support, and they're very proficient at it, by the way. These unsophisticated women that have never been to court before, all of a sudden the forms are beautiful, and they're really going for it, and you know that it doesn't cost them anything. They can go to the district attorney's office, they can do it online, and you type up the thing, and they do the whole thing for you, and you sit home and wait for the check to come. And what's fascinating is that if you're not sure who the father is, you can write more than one. And it's amazing how women, if they've been seeing, let's say, three guys, one guy's really successful, one guy's middle class, and one guy's in jail, they always write the really successful one first. Because they're hoping and praying, maybe, you know, hopefully he's the father. And it tends to be the one that's in jail ends up being the father most of the time.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. But he's the one with the least amount of revenue coming in. And, you know, and by the way, any man dating a woman who tells you that her ex-boyfriend is in prison, was in prison, is in jail, was in jail, to me, that is a major league red flag that you have to avoid at all costs. I don't care how hot she is.
The problem is, Tom, that it's so, so typical. It's so normal to be going out with a woman. Okay, first of all, you got to admit this. This can't even be a red flag anymore. It's too common. The woman will tell you that her previous boyfriend or her husband or ex-husband is a jerk. He's a deadbeat, and he's a loser, right? I mean, I can't dump her just for that, can I, Tom? Is that enough?
Best sex she's ever had.
Right, of course. You're never going to measure up to this guy. But then meanwhile, you know, he was abusive. I stayed with him for 14 years as he tortured me or whatever, and we were having sex 100 times a day. Or, as you say, the guy's in jail, he's on the run, he had to leave the country. You know, women love this kind of drama, right? So if I dump all these women because it's a red flag, who's left, Tom?
Well, that's my point. Why do you have to get married? It goes back to the same thing. There are very few people who are worth considering to marry. And that goes for men and women both, by the way. And so what I say is keep your options open. Keep your powder dry. Keep your money in the bank. Keep your condom on. Just try to avoid getting in these situations where you are obligated to do things. I had a caller, and I don't know if you heard this, cause I know you were here, but you may not have heard the call we had last hour from a guy who said he wanted to get married because he loves the woman very much. And I said, well, you can love her without marrying her. And he said, well, I want to give her things. I want to take care of her.
I caught that.
And I said, well, wait a minute. You can give anybody anything. Why do you need to write a contract that obligates you, essentially allows someone to put their foot on the back of your neck? And then on top of that, I suggested, I gave it as an example, like let's say you want to go on a diet. You could just go on a diet. You could eat 1,500 calories a day, and you could have your cholesterol tested and what have you. Or you could go to the warden at your local prison and say, lock me up. And I'm just going to eat bread and water and whatever you're serving here in prison, and I'm hoping to lose weight if I'm locked up here in prison. Now, of course, people think that would be preposterous. But what really is the difference when you sign a contract essentially agreeing that 50% plus of everything you earn is going to belong to the other person? Why do you have to sign that piece of paper? And that takes me back to my first question of this hour. Like, does it really make sense? I was afraid to join the Columbia Book Club or the Columbia Record Club when I was a kid because I thought they abolished slavery in 1865. But if you read the paragraphs of verbiage threatening you if you didn't take this month's selection, if you forgot to send it back, or tried to figure out how to cancel once you'd gotten into that scheme.
There's no canceling.
No. Book of the Month Club, to me, it reminded me of slavery.
That's like the mafia. You're in for life, right?
That's right. And that's how I feel about marriage. It's like you can love someone, you can have kids, you can give people things. Why do you need to sign a legal document that guarantees that to the other person? You know, when you guarantee something to the other person, what is their incentive to be good to you? Just ask Alex Rodriguez once he signs a big contract to play baseball. And suddenly he dogs it. Suddenly he never gets the big hit in the big situation. What's the point of that?
Chris Rock had a whole routine. He said when you're dating someone, you're not really dating them. You're dating their representative. And they're putting, obviously, their best foot forward and so forth. But at the same time, Tom, when you look at our media in terms of romantic films and romantic comedies and the things your parents tell you, I mean, when you talk about women today, even with all the things that go on, and I've said, you know, to be honest and be fair to both sides, that I don't think marriage is very good for men or women. But, I mean, women really, really want to get married. And I'm sorry to tell you, Tom, after all we've talked about, men really do also. They do.
But they don't know why they want to.
Okay, fair enough. But
and that's why we're here having this conversation.
Well, there you go. But you've got to be, I'd say, in your 20s. If you're older, if you have an older brother, or you start talking to like men that have more experience, they're going to tell you that it's not a good arrangement. It's not a good thing. You start to see that more clearly. When you have sex on the brain, and we're talking about hormones you mentioned in the last hour, you're not thinking straight, bottom line.
Right. And that's why, by the way, that's why I believe that men need rules, whether it's Ligus 101 or Ligus 201 or just rules for themselves. They need rules because, unfortunately, when you leave people to their own devices, they're going to do the buy now, pay now car arrangements that now they're trying to make illegal. They're going to sign contracts and do all kinds of things that make absolutely no sense. People are going to sign their kids up to be in TV commercials and find they've signed 15-year contracts. They're going to get their kids into the music industry, and the record company's going to retain the rights to the authorship of every song ever written. That is what you get. That is what you get. And so I think people need to make rules for themselves before they go out.
So what do we do? Like in India, we have arranged marriages. Would that work?
Oh, I don't think arranged marriages would work, and I certainly don't think they work now. And people stay married just because that's the way the culture is.
No, but if you had the culture, let's say
Indian guys are the horniest guys I know.
Of course. But if you look background in terms of like the 1950s or whatever, when divorce was much more uncommon and much more frowned upon, and adultery was a big deal, is that the way it should be? That we should have social pressure on people not to fool around or not to leave a shitty marriage?
But you're not going to have that because, you know, again, people want to do what they want to do. Everybody thinks you should, or let's say everybody thinks the president or whoever he happens to be at a given time, he should be loyal to his wife. He should be faithful. He should be in church on Sunday morning for the photo op. Everybody thinks he should do it. Another example, okay, public transportation. I think, living as an Angeleno, I think public transportation is great, and I want to make sure that you take the subway. So there's more room for me on the freeway.
So you're not giving up your car no matter what.
That's my point. People who say that marriage is good for society, most of them have fucked around or gotten fucked around on, or they're paying alimony or they're paying child support. They keep talking about this ideal world where signing the contract would guarantee you that you'd be with somebody who'd be faithful and loyal and be there when you get sick and push you around in the wheelchair if necessary.
Doesn't it sound like a good thing, at least theoretically, what you just said?
So does Peter Pan.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to have someone who loves you and pushes you in the wheelchair and so forth?
It would be. Right. Good luck finding that person.
Right. That's the hassle.
Yeah. And in this society, not only do women not do that, children don't do it. It's one of the things I tell people. People say to me, well, you're going to be lonely by not having kids when you get older because who's going to take care of you? By the way, this isn't Mexico. Your kids are not going to take care of you. In this country, they're going to dump you in an assisted living facility in West Palm Beach, and they're done with you. That's what happens in this society. This idea that you're going to have kids so somebody will take care of you, not the United States, that's not going to happen. No way. By the way, I know plenty of Hispanic people. They grew up in another country, and their kids grew up here watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And they think the kids are going to be like their parents and grandparents and what have you. But those kids are American, and they're going to be Americans.
Yeah, they Americanize pretty quickly.
And they're going to dump you in the nursing home. That's where you're going, folks. You're getting dumped. That's what happened. This idea you're going to have kids, so you have someone to take care of you when you get old, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I see it every day. People dumping their parents into facilities all the time. Nobody's taking care of anybody.
The thing is, Tom, seriously, what if as a man you don't have a lot of confidence, you don't have a lot of game, and you don't like the chase? A lot of guys want to have this steady sexual partner. It's amazing how many men will get divorced from a really crappy situation and get remarried within a month or two.
Right.
Because they can't handle it. They can't handle not having a steady partner and having
and
to go out.
And by doing that, they have gotten themselves in another bad situation.
Of course. Worse, by the way, sometimes.
In most cases, I would say that's true.
But don't you think that the vast majority of guys lack this ability? I mean, if they're good-looking or who knows, they're not. Doesn't matter. They lack game. They're afraid to deal with it, and they want mommy in the
and
house
they
taking
are the
care
ones,
of them, right?
They are the ones who I'm going to drive over with my Tesla. They're the ones who are not going to have any money ever. They're the ones not going to have any retirement income. I talked to this poor guy yesterday. I don't know if you heard this. Mm. Guy called in yesterday. He's been listening to me since the early 90s.
Right.
Okay. I was on KFI back in like 1990, and he was listening back then, and I was saying the exact same things. I wasn't doing Likas 101, but I was telling guys, don't get married, don't get married.
Really?
Don't get
on married. KFI?
On KFI back then, and he heard it. He remembered it. He called in, and he told me that he thought he knew more than I did, and so he went and got married. And now, what happened? Well, he got married, had kids, the wife somehow forgot to keep going to work every day, and now is staying home all the time. He, meanwhile, made himself even more valuable. He went back to school and got an MBA.
Wow.
And thanks to that now, with the new increased income he'll have, he's going to be paying more alimony,
of course,
more child support. And on top of that, boys, and this is something you can talk to our guest about here, once you've been married 20 years like this guy, she's got half his Social Security, half his 401k, half his IRA, half his company pension.
She's going to kill him.
She's getting more than 50% of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And this man who called up to confess that he thought he knew more than I did was literally in tears yesterday. Literally.
The thing is, you know, it's like that's all true unless it works out, right? Then you could be happy with this woman. The problem is the odds of that have got to be less than 1%.
It's like the New York State Lottery. I don't know if you've ever seen the commercials for the New York State Lottery.
Hey, you never know.
Hey, you never know. Hey, it could happen to you.
Right.
But they don't finish the sentence. And the finish of the sentence is, but it probably won't.
What do you mean probably, Tom? It's like 1 in 100 million.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, realistically. You know,
well, some people who win a few free lottery tickets think they won, quote unquote.
Well, I'm happy for everybody, whatever. But, I mean, when they talk about these Powerballs and they come up with these numbers that are staggering, you know, 40 or 50 or 60 million or something ridiculous.
Or 240 million.
Can you imagine? But, yeah. But the bottom line is that really the likelihood of that is so, so far-fetched. And when you talk about a marriage and so forth, seriously, everyone wants to beat the odds, and when you're in love, you're all high with that or whatever. If you really look at our significantly longer lifespans, if you look at the complications in our world, if you look at the temptations, if you look at birth control and women having their own cell phone and voicemail and being alone and having careers and everything else that's going on, and men too, you're going to be going on a business trip to London. Your father would never have done that. He didn't know about something crazy like that. And
no.
You're going to have all these opportunities presented to you as well. You really think you're going to be faithful to one woman as she ages and becomes a little old lady for 65 or 70 years? If you marry or when you're 20 and you live to be 90?
No.
Not very likely.
And by the way, that goes double for the guys who meet the MILFs and stuff. You know, the guys who are 28 and they're dating someone who's 42 and has grown children.
Come on. Look what happened with Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Women were talking about that endlessly. Oh, you see, she's a cougar. Yeah. He is a young guy, good-looking, an actor, famous, rich. He has women going nuts. He's going to clubs. He has women coming up to him and saying just anything right now. Where are you? Let's go to your hotel room, okay?
Right.
So he's saying, no, 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 I'm with Demi, as she's drinking herself to death and being basically a much older woman.
Right.
He got tired of it. He's with Mila Kunis now, yeah?
Right. As far as we know.
Yeah, well, that wasn't such a difficult choice, I think.
We'll take a break. We will come back. Our guest is divorce attorney Adam Sachs. You might need some legal advice. You might agree or disagree with some of the things we've been saying here. Well, let us know. You can call us here at 901-3000-TOM in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866.
You're just 10 digits away from your 2 minutes of fame. Good luck getting through. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Oh, you dirty ho 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 ho. Give the gift of big balls this Christmas. New Normal Rock. Wait, what does that even mean? Stop. What does that even mean, give the gift of big balls? That's absurd. We'll do it again. What, you listen to the stream and grow big balls? Don't be stupid. You know what? Fuck it. We'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
I've got a question for you. Have you experienced the smell of smoke in your home after a nearby fire? Well, you know what? That means you've got smoke damage. Don't try to call your insurance carrier and negotiate that claim yourself, because you're never going to get the results you would have gotten had you called GA Public Adjusters. GA Public Adjusters at 866-866-0777 or online at irepresentyou.com. Now, maybe you have water or mold damage, wind or roof damage. Let an expert make sure you get exactly what you deserve. It won't cost a thing out of your pocket, and your insurance premium will not go up. GA Public Adjusters receives a modest percentage of the settlement they'll work so hard to get for you. Why protect a big corporate insurance company when you pay them to protect you? GA Public Adjusters works for you on both home and business claims. Call for a free estimate today, 866-866-0777, or visit them online at www.irepresentyou.com. GA Public Adjusters, call today and get paid. The Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That means if you're listening just past 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, we're live. If you're listening just past 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast, we're live. And you can call us here. 901-3000-TOM. Here comes your free legal advice from our guest, divorce attorney Adam Sachs. Let's say hi here to Phil in Compton. Phil, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, boss?
Great.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, I got a custody question. I am the custodial parent of both my kids. I have two different baby's moms. Yeah. And I don't get any child support.
Are you kidding? That's terrible.
I filed, and I'm supposed to get something.
I, for one, am shocked.
It's really remarkable, the arrogance of women, because you see in case after case that women have a real chip on the shoulder about collecting child support, but when a woman has to pay child support, that's a whole other story, you know?
I mean, I didn't file when I went to court, because I guess custody and child support are two different things.
Well, not necessarily. Right? It could be, depends on how you do it. If the state does it for you with the district attorney, or you could just do an incident to the regular custody matter. But I'm getting the feeling, Phil, you didn't have a lawyer, did you?
No, I went at it by myself, by myself.
Well, if you think about it, okay, seriously, if you had hired someone like me and I had charged you a few $1,000s, right? Think about all the money you would have gotten all these years in child support. It would have more than made up for it, don't you think?
Right. Okay, well, at that time I didn't have a few $1,000s just laying around.
I understand, but I mean, look at how much you lost in the intervening years.
Well, I got laid off in 96.
96?
Or, I'm sorry, in 06.
Uh-huh.
So then I had to, I needed assistance back then.
Okay.
So I explained to them the situation. And they actually filed child support for me at the welfare office.
Okay.
And I started getting letters in the mail saying that each of them owes me $303 a month. And to this day, I haven't received a single penny.
Right. Well, you did it with the county, which is the Department of Child Support Services in Los Angeles. I don't know what you have, where you're calling from. You said you're in Compton?
All right here in California.
Yeah, okay.
LA County.
All right. So basically, they got orders for you, obviously for a reasonably low amount, $300 per child. That's not very much. And they just haven't really taken any steps to enforce it. And you don't really have a lawyer. They're not representing you. What they're primarily doing is representing the state of California to try to get money back to repay what may have been given in terms of child support, in terms of the state, like welfare or WIC or other benefits you may have received. And so they may be reimbursing those things before they're giving the money to you. You really need to have your own lawyer to actually collect money that you're actually going to collect. And people think it's really...
Can you collect from somebody that's in jail?
Well, do they have money if they're in jail? I mean, I don't know.
Well, no. I don't know.
Your baby mamas are in jail?
No, they're out. They're out. They're you know not working, but they're out.
Well, I would be going after them. I'd be garnishing their wages. I'd take their cars away, their bank accounts, their houses, and anything else they have. That's how you do it. And you need to have counsel.
One of them, you know, she has a, what, three-year-old now, I think, and she's receiving assistance for him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's right there. I'm sure her name is in some type of a system, you know, owing me some money, or am I wrong?
No, of course, no. Listen, Phil, it sounds like a tough situation, and you got to be able to recognize that you're going to come out well ahead in the long run if you have your own counsel. It's very important to do that.
So critical. I'll have to hire a lawyer and then refile?
Think of it this way, okay? Seriously, it's an investment. If you spend a few dollars on a lawyer, you're going to get a lot more back. You have thousands and thousands of dollars coming to you from the time now until the kids are 18 years old. You want to actually collect that money, or you want to talk about how much you should be getting but you're not getting?
By the way, how do you keep picking chicks like this, and have you ever heard of condoms?
Yeah. That was a long time ago, Tom. Come on.
Yeah, what do you mean a long time ago? How long ago?
She's 15 and she's 9 now.
Nine years ago is not that long ago.
Yeah, well, you know, you could pay off two cars in that time, so.
Why? I have to know why you did that.
Hey, condoms, like you said, won't always work.
No, okay, but even if you think about it.
I know you probably won't believe me, but.
I don't.
No, but even at the levels you were talking about, Phil, you're talking about $300 a month. Tom, you're the math guy here. $300 a month, that's $3,500 a year. You have a 15-year-old, right? So that would have been $50,000, Tom.
In 15 years?
Yeah.
50, more than 50, yeah.
So spending $2,500 on a lawyer would probably be a pretty good idea, right?
Okay, I was wondering. That was my next question.
I'm just saying, you flushed $50,000, even more. Tom, you said it was more, right?
It's more than $50,000, yeah.
See, I think, you know, being penny wise and pound foolish not to invest properly in it is a mistake. And, you know, the other thing about child support is that it's not really for you to throw away. It doesn't belong to you. It's money for your child.
No, it's for the kid.
Yeah.
That's why they call it child support.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Well, so if you didn't want to spend it on the child, at least put it in one of, like, a trust account for them or something, you know? Give it to them when they turn 18 to go to college.
What I would do, that's exactly what I would do, you know, because, I mean, I'm okay now. I got another job, and I'm doing better now.
I'm glad to hear
it. That's exactly what I would do.
Time to knock someone else up again.
The other thing you might want to do is
I did the same thing you did, Tom.
What did Tom do?
I'm done with you.
Oh, okay.
Now you're done.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
That's not exactly the same thing that Tom did.
Well, in a sense. Okay,
doesn't have in a sense, I use condoms 100% of the time.
Well, Tom isn't getting any kids with anybody, as far as I know.
And amazingly, I made it all these years without having a kid.
Being vigilant,
better luck than I do, Tom.
I don't think it's luck.
Coincidence.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think you're in denial.
Tom, isn't that the tsunami thing?
No, not Tom.
Life washes over you. It's lucky. You were lucky, Tom.
You know, what would Pep Boys, Jiffy Lube, and all these places do without guys like that who have this incredibly bad luck? They just keep knocking women up.
I don't work.
The condoms continue not to work.
Or not get put on.
I could honestly say I do not work there.
what do you do?
I'm in sales.
You're in sales?
Yes.
Right. Are you making a lot of money?
I own my own house and I own three cars.
Fabulous.
I'm doing good.
You own your house, meaning you don't have a mortgage on it. It's paid for.
No, okay. I'm a homeowner.
Well, the bank owns your house, and your name is on the deed.
Yes.
All right, let's be fair.
I'm being fair. You know what? In the last 5 years, we've smoked out a lot of paper millionaires.
Right.
Look around you. All the for sale signs and the short sale signs and the bank owned signs. All those people, quote unquote, owned houses.
Well, I mean, I'm still there. I still have mine under my name, even though the bank technically owns it, just like they own one of my cars.
You know, also, one of the things that you could have done, Phil, in all this time, is you could have gotten the support increased. You have a relatively low amount. Yeah, you have 300, right? So, I mean, that goes back.
They're not working.
Now, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what their income level is or what their situation is. You always go back every year to have it reviewed. And so you have the same amount since 2006 or whatever you're talking about. That's a shame. It may actually be more than I even said it was. And like I said, enforcement is important. You show these women you're serious, they'd be paying you, and they know they're getting away with not paying for a long time.
Now, if they're not working, does something just accumulate?
Of course, plus interest, by the way. And you can also take steps to force them to work, that they can get admonitions from the court to go work.
Get an attorney. Stop being a cheapskate, please. I say this time and time again, whether Adam's here or not, and it's not always about divorce. Usually my use of attorneys has nothing to do with divorce. I've never lost one penny hiring good attorneys. Never, never. I have always made money. Rich people become richer because they've got the right attorneys, the right accountants, the right financial planners.
Right.
They don't do it on their own.
It's a heartbreak, Tom. I hear it all the time.
I know. All right, we'll take a break here. Phil, thank you. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and you can talk to divorce attorney Adam Sachs right now and ask him your questions. Free legal advice. What's better than that? 901-3000-866.
Please wash your hands before touching that phone. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Here's a topic I know a lot about. I'm sure many of you remember that I had a serious mold issue in my home. Now, out of nowhere, I started experiencing health problems. Even my voice was affected. Well, it wasn't until a contractor friend of mine suggested a mold inspection that I discovered it was my own house that was making me sick. You know, left untreated, not only will mold destroy the investment you've worked so hard for, but it can make you seriously ill. Don't take mold and other indoor air quality issues lightly. Get in touch with Sean at moldfree.me now and arrange for an honest, reliable inspection. Moldfree.me. You know, Sean was one of the guys who was in on that original inspection of my house in the Hollywood Hills. He has well over a decade of experience in mold and indoor air quality inspections, and you'll get a fast response with a quick turnaround anywhere in Ventura, L.A., and Orange counties. Moldfree.me. Buying, renting, don't go another day without knowing. Go to moldfree.me today or call this number, 818-970-8870, right now. That's 818-970-8870, and talk to Sean. Sean is at moldfree.me. Me.
When I first tried sleeping with New Normal music enriched with today's hottest indie pop and indie rock, it was so good that I told two friends about it. And they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. And believe me, there's still nothing like the original New Normal music. It gives me super jams, super grooves, and super nutrients. Try it. You'll tell your friends about it.
And they'll tell their friends, and so on, and so on.
Be sure to get the original New Normal music with today's hottest upbeat indie pop and indie rock. NewNormalMusic.com. Be that lizard.
Looking to purchase or refi? Request Mortgage can help. Licensed, reputable, in business for over 20 years. Call this number, 310-784-8800, and see what you qualify for. It's quick. It's easy. Most qualifications can be done right over the phone. Or make an appointment to see them at their convenient Torrance, California location. Good credit, bad credit, large down payment or no down payment at all. Get your no-obligation free loan consultation today with Request Mortgage at 310-784-8800. They have loans for every situation. Purchasing is your primary residence, investment property, non-owner-occupied loans, rehab loans. They even have conventional loans with as little as 5% down. Teachers, government workers, policemen, firemen, veterans. Request Mortgage makes it easy with special loans available with as little as 3% down. It's Request Mortgage. It's 310-784-8800. Call to qualify. One call, as they say, does it all. Request Mortgage, 310-784-8800. That's 310-784-8800 for Request Mortgage. It's Tom Likas Show. Yes, it is. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That means, if you're listening, on Tuesday, that we went another live hour between 6 and 7 p.m. Pacific Time, between 9 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And that means you can call in live here and talk with divorce attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000. Tom, 901-3000. 866 Salvador calling from Long Beach on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Long time. First time.
Thank you.
Just calling because earlier you were talking about how American parents and once the kids grow up and all that BS, they get kind of thrown in homes. Well, I was backpacking recently through Mexico, and one gentleman that I got to meet and hang out with and actually let me stay there for a couple of nights, he lived in here in America. He was a janitor for Santa Ana School District for about 40 years or something. His kids grew up here. Kids all went off, went to college, the whole American dream, you know, the immigrant, what they asked for and all that good stuff. Well, anyway, when he retired, and he got, you know, was in his late 60s, mid-60s, he was telling me that he kind of was just kind of shuffled around kid to kid, like, well, you take them. No, you take them. No, you... So he said, fuck that. I'm going to just go back to Mexico. He went to Mexico, and he found himself like a 40-something-year-old girlfriend, and she takes care of him like a king. And he lives like a king now. She cooks, cleans, you know, pops his Viagra, the whole nine yards, and he lives like a king now because he doesn't have to worry about his kids. They come and visit whenever they, you know, want to, and he doesn't complain. And he'll come to America from time to time to see his grandkids. But other than that, he said, screw that. You know, when you're old, there's nothing like living in your home country because, you know, they know how to take care of the old and all that good stuff. And, you know.
Well, that's if your home country happens to be Mexico. I was born in the United States of America. Living in your home country, you're not going to get that here.
No, right. And that's what I was saying. I was trying to add to that, that.
He's happy being in his home country because that's how they do. But that's not how we do.
Oh, hell no, we don't, man. I mean, even now, you know, I'm 30, single, no kids, finishing up my master's degree. And my parents are, you know, in their early 60s. And, like, honestly, I'm thinking, like, well, I'm not going to take care of them. Like, nah, I could, like, pay for them to stay in a home or something like that, but, like, yeah, I wouldn't be the one to want to, like, clean them and feed them and do that whole thing.
Where are your parents from? Are they from the United States?
No, we were all born down there. I was born down there as well. Came here when I was about 3 years old.
But see, that you're an American and your parents aren't. It's a difference in cultures.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do your parents expect you to take care of them?
There's that expectation.
There is. See.
Oh, yeah. But see, I'm the youngest of six, and then we have two sisters. So I think the girls are going to be the ones who are going to take on that role.
They're the ones who are going to call you and nag you and complain that you're not helping. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Essentially, asking for money.
Right.
To help fund. You know. Yeah, and that's exactly how it will go.
Right. So when your parents need to be swabbed clean, you'll send a few bucks for handy wipes or whatever it is they're going to use.
Someone to do the swabbing.
Pretty much. No, see, I told my mom, I said, you know what? I said, if you're open to going and living back in Mexico, I said, I can send you a couple hundred bucks a month so that you're taken care of down there. Because down there, you know, it's fresh air. She could garden and do all that stuff. Doesn't have to worry about all the stresses that are here. I mean, she could live down there and be easy. And, you know, gave dad the same option because, you know, I mean, I'm grateful they gave me the opportunity. They brought me here and that whole deal. I'm finishing my master's degree, got a good job and all that work. So, I could take care of him in that sense. But I just heard you commenting earlier about how in different cultures, Mexico being one of them, that the kids down there. I mean, when I was living down there, all the old people, they're taken care of real nice, man. I mean, there's daughters and sons who pretty much don't leave Mexico to stay there and take care of their family. I mean,
right. By the time their parents die, their kids are old enough to take care of them.
Yeah.
But the problem that people run into is they move to the United States and they have kids and the kids are Americans. So Their parents are thinking, oh, we're all going to live together as a family. And the kids are thinking, let's see, we got Leisure World, we got Sun City. We got some assisted living facilities along the 5 freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
All over Fairfax.
And I'm afraid that, you know, me, I was born there and all that stuff. I have dual citizenship. But the one of my concerns is that parents come here, they bring their children that hold, even kids who were born here, were raised with trying to hold on to that Mexican value system. And that's great. It's a real nice system and all that stuff. But we're not in Mexico, so it doesn't really translate as easily as it would, you know, if you were living down there. So I was dating this girl recently, or I am actually dating her, and she's, like, super traditional. And I'm like, look, we're not in Mexico. You got to lose all that traditional stuff. So, you know, it's just kind of just how it is right now.
Right. Understood. So, well, I've been around it. I have dated Latina women from just about everywhere, and I have seen it up close. I know how it works. I will never forget the ex I had who left home. She lived near her parents or in the same building as her parents until she finally moved out and moved in with me, which her parents, of course, hated.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
And then after she moved in with me, she was still getting mail at home, which her mother was opening.
Right.
And wow.
And her mother, who didn't speak English... See, what mom didn't know is that the daughter had had an abortion.
Oh, no.
And after she had an abortion, she was on the mailing list for, like, you know, sterilization and more abortions. And they had a frequent flyer club or something for abortion or whatever. So mom gets, you know, mom does not speak or read English well. So mom gets a letter in the mail and opens it, and the letter says something like, you know, we have all these services. You know, we know you've used our services in the past. And we've got sterilization, and we've got IUDs. And,
wow.
And so mom...
has a stroke.
Mom calls up and starts saying to the daughter, like, what is it? What are you doing? And so I'm watching them going at it on the phone. And after the phone is hung up, I said, what's going on? You know, because what's your mom, opening your mail? And she said, yeah, my mom opened the mail and she saw this letter about sterilization. I said, what's your mom doing opening your mail? And she's like, oh, that's my mother. Of course my mother opens my mail.
God, wow.
My mother doesn't open my mail, I'll tell you right now.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Little culture clash.
Oh, yeah. No, believe me, I've learned it the hard way, the cultural differences, but in every way. Salvador, we're out of time for the hour. Thank you so much. Adam, how do people get in touch with you? Of course, they hear your commercials on the show all the time.
Of course.
People who've got questions, people who are thinking about getting a divorce or writing a prenup or trying to avoid paying excessive vagina money, how do they get in touch with you?
I'll tell you, in terms of having a stroke, you know, people call me and they're surprised I actually answer my phone, you know?
I know.
So if you really want to talk to me, I'm actually non-threatening, I promise. You can call me directly at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
And Adam's website is adamlawyer.com. AdamLawyer.com.
Like a breath of goddamn fresh air. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
You betcha.
We are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. Sex while driving sends a Minnesota man to prison for 4 years for a fatal crash. Mark Challen, a 24-year-old, was straddled by his girl at 65 miles an hour, getting fucked by his girl while driving at 65, drove into oncoming traffic.
Well, the oncoming traffic part is the bad thing that happened. Yeah. Other than that, everything else seemed to be working out perfectly. But, now that's going to be an issue because our friend is done.
Yeah, he says he definitely regrets it. Doesn't mention whether he finished the deal or not. I'm thinking he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
It didn't work out.
Not only didn't work out, it ended up in death.
By the way, one of the people who died, two in the oncoming car, and also the chick that was fucking him.
Oh, no, yeah. Man, he lost it all.
He did. He lost it all.
You know what? Maybe there is a PSA somewhere in here about don't fuck while driving.
By the way, there is a way to do it, but the girl's got to be creative and be able to sort of move over to one side while
she's
actually,
working. I have this way.
You have?
Oh, sorry. I did it again. Sorry about that.
Only Midwest.
I have this way. Of having the broad basically hover over top. It's easier in a Jeep, actually. It works out great.
There's enough
step-by-step instructions.
You can get the seat far enough
back?
Yeah,
because you can take the passenger seat and roll it back a little bit. And then it works out.
The old
out.
Hovercraft move.
Yeah, it's great. Hovercraft, it's exactly it.
Amazing.
Done.
All right.
Thank you.
Jennifer Lawrence has been named the most desirable woman of 2013 by AskMen.com.
You know what? That's their opinion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say no. And we
she
have posted
hot.
The picture.
She's hot. Yeah, there's no doubt.
She has terrific breasts.
Yes, she does.
But I'm not 100% sold as this being the number one most considered desired woman.
That's a tough question.
Of 2013.
Yeah.
Again, I would say I would do it, but again, the most desired.
I think we feature like tons of supermodels that certainly outdo her.
Oh, my God, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yes, they do exist, and she is definitely on the list of the top 98, but number one, I'm wondering if they're doing this on purpose just to cause a controversy so people talk about it like our dumbasses.
Yes. One of my all-time faves, Pam Anderson, owes the U.S. government $370,000 in back taxes.
Let me tell you who's going to win in this case. The IRS.
Right.
They always do. Done. They're undefeated, and they will win.
Yeah.
So time to put the red bathing suit back on for a quick movie to pay off the bills, because they'll come and get you.
Pam will be on every version of Dancing with the Stars from now until the end of the verse.
Definitely. There is no doubt about it. Yep.
Tiger Woods, apparently, we were talking about Elin Nordegren before. Tiger, apparently, was out partying after his golf tournament here in California last weekend. Tiger seen with up to six women
Good.
On the dance floor.
Great.
At a local hotel at Westlake Village Inn, actually, up in Westlake Village.
I wonder if Tom Likas has been there. It's like one of those high-end places. Westlake Village Inn.
Right.
Interesting, because I bet there's a lot of rich women just...
The Westlake Village Inn?
Been there?
Westlake
yeah.
Village Inn.
No, there's
sounds
a,
like a Milfy place.
There's a Four Seasons out there.
Right.
See, I knew
we've been there. We've been there before. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but still, Tom, we got to put this one on the list, too, at least for suggestions, because if Tiger Woods is hanging around in that lobby, then it's a place that our listeners need to go.
You have to spill over
about it.
Yeah.
So he's hanging around six scantily clad women and walking around this village.
According to Us Weekly, Tiger is the man of the hour when he requested from the DJ, "Tonight I'm Fucking You" by Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not making fun of Enrique.
Which is on the list at Pure Pop Hits, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes.
Isn't Enrique with the hot tennis player? Isn't that his wife or girl or something like that? Isn't he with Anna Kournikova or something like that? Our boy really has it made, man.
I don't know about that. I want to party.
Well, they
with
were
Tiger.
Together. I know that. That's for sure. So our dude was banging around with Anna Kournikova.
Seen the show Shaz of Sunset?
I have, and it's awesome. And this was such a letdown. I saw this picture today.
God, there's a fat broad on there now,
she,
pictured in a bikini.
Yeah, she really does.
Corona.
She MJ or Mercedes Javid, she does this great job of hiding it, because I really thought that she had the best breasts on reality.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
Well, the
man.
Breasts aren't bad.
No,
but look
but
at the gut.
The way they're spilled out.
I like the puckering around the navel.
Right.
It's so bad. It ruined everything. I was such a fan of this. Tom, when you see these breasts, they're amazing.
I didn't notice the navel thing. That's unbelievable.
I didn't even get to that point, but what a letdown.
You got to see that.
I'm
and there's a little
morning.
Bit of cream cheese going on down on the thigh area.
By the way,
a little bit.
Leave it to TMZ. They kind of tapped you know, tiptoe around the whole thing. They don't come out and say that she's a fat pig. They call her, like, voluptuous and stuff. No, they wreck the whole thing. She's a goddamn pig. It sucks, man. I was so looking forward to seeing
it. They let you see that, and then they let you say that, and then Harvey Levin doesn't have to say
it. She's a piggy pig.
She really is, and it's unfortunate because I was so pumped up. I'm like, dude, this girl on the show, like, she hides her tits really well. By the way, an incredible thin, there's a really good thin model, like one
this
on. They call
this
her,
isn't her
the Persian Barbie, and she is. All of a sudden, dude, I'm starting to be, I want to be a Shaw for a little bit because these dudes got something going over there.
All right, a pick alert for you to get that dirty taste out of your mouth. Promotional photos are out for this week's new episode of Big Bang Theory. Check out Kaley Cuoco in a little black dress. All kinds of cleavage going on there. It's a beautiful, beautiful deal.
She really is amazing.
There you have it. Like It's 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Come on.
Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. Brand new show every Friday at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Great Big Radio. Required by law to call ourselves an oldie station. But we're a pant load more than that. Great Big Radio took the greatest hits of all time. Then we weeded out all the crap. And again we say, then we threw in all the stuff that radio just doesn't play anymore. Here comes another one. Then we pull it all together with that world-renowned new normal attitude. So throw away that radio. Trash your TV. Kick your toaster to the curb. And listen to
Great Big Radio.
Oldies Gone Wrong from the new normal. 24/7 at greatbigradio.com.